You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, you know, troll on in.
You know how we always talk about the council being a group that is operates an upward, and it goes from the bottom up rather than the top down, which is really important. But that means you need people all the time. And one of the people that we ran into a bunch of years ago, somebody that was he's passionate about fishing and about teaching. And so the Marine Science course on fishery and resource management, which is sponsored by the council, is an annual event. Happens at Aaron Yoshioka School. And before we tell you more about that, we tell you a little bit about Aaron. And I guess this is, like, I think this is at least the fourth or maybe the fifth time that we've done this. And I get to see the proof in the pudding. It must be a real good thing when you, let's go back to the very beginnings. How does thing whole get started? And how did you get the attention of the council and then the sponsorship of the council?
Actually, it's pretty funny. So, a long time ago, I had met Mark Mitsuyasu from the council on Maui. There was a convention, a National Marine Science Teachers Convention, and I had met him. And a couple years later, the council had, along with, I think it was the advertiser at the time.
It was the advertiser, I think. I remember that.
Yeah, had a outing for teachers to go down to Pier 38, and we could learn about the longline industry and go to the fish auction and everything. And then from there, we kind of hooked up again. And, you know, he had this idea about having a high school class for students. Like, he took a long time ago, I think it was called the Blue Water Marine Lab.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, we just kind of got together and, you know, we've had it, and it's been, I don't know, I think 13 years now,
well,
and the time goes really fast.
You know, I can remember in the past, long time ago, different programs had started, but none of them had the assets and the resources available to really make it real for the kids, so that it be, now this thing is sought after. These kids are waiting in line to take this program, and it's kind of limited. We're going to tell you today that we have the unique opportunity to promote a few openings, but it's also good when you see the proof in the pudding. Yeah, I mean, you know, as a regular teacher, a lot of times your kids matriculate out and that's the end of it. You're, because of this program and because of this class, these kids are doing what the class was intended to do, and that is get involved in the fishery somehow.
Mm-hmm. It's not that they have to, but, you know, we are always looking for students who maybe one day or, you know, at some point maybe get interested to the point where they want to make this, you know, a career.
Yeah.
And there's so many different things you can do besides just, you know,
most of them fishing. Are flabbergasted that there are divisions within the opportunity, within the job skill. I mean, there are literally hundreds of different pukas that you can fill, right?
Yeah, that's why I think, you know, in our guest speakers, we try and bring in a wide variety of people from, mm-hmm. you know, Naoki, who's an artist,
sure.
to scientists and all, everybody in between.
So. I'll tell you, that it's funny that you say Naoki, because we had the owner of Kyotaku Restaurant on my other show the other day talking about people that come to the restaurant just to see the artwork. You know, and the kids that get to see this happening when we have the open houses at POP is just unbelievable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this, though, because this year we have a unique event. First of all, we're going to go back to the Sons of Time, go back to Hands of Time, to somebody that went to the class a while ago. He was at that time, I guess, in the Kamehameha school system on the island of Maui. Zach Yamada, he is actually a council contractor now. So, Zach, it sounds to me like you got the opportunity to teach Aaron to fill you up with some, fire you up, and then you actually put it into practice and you're actually in the field now. So that's a pretty good testament. Do you remember what it was like when you went to the class?
Yeah, I remember. I was an outsider.
Yeah, you were the Maui boy.
Yeah, I just graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much went in with an open mind, and nobody knew who I was, nor did anybody expect anything from me. So I went in, I took every chance that I could. I took everything that I could, and then I met all the people at the council. And as I went to HPU, they went to Hawaii Pacific University. They're like, "Oh, our office is real close to the school.
Yeah.
You should come and check us out."
Yep, we have an eye on you, my boy. You know, and you know, Aaron, isn't it exactly what you're trying to do here? It not just light the fire under somebody, but give them a sort of a guides of where they can go to fill whatever part of their little desire they're trying to do.
Yeah, I think not for just me, but like I said, a lot of the people involved who help us with the class. And, you know, I know you were talking about resources before. And besides the council, you know, sponsoring us with the money, I think the biggest resource we have is actually all the people who,
sure,
who help us out and come into the class. And yeah, so
yeah, I think can't wait. They get excited. I know that, and this rotates every year. But give us an example, like maybe some of the guys you've or people you've lined up to do some of the guest speaking this year.
Well, I think the one thing that the students like the most are field trips.
Sure.
So
road trip.
Yeah, some of the real popular ones is going to the Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm.
Our turtle necropsy with Dr. Balaz and Terry Work, and what else do they really like? Naoki, obviously.
Yeah.
And
one thing you mentioned, Coast Guard. The opportunities at the Coast Guard now are wider. Ever since 9/11, the Coast Guard does way more than it used to do, right? And so they have everything they have, they call assets. You know, whether it's a boat or a helicopter, even their people are their assets. Well, we have more and more young people looking into being a Coastie in Hawaii than ever before. Some of them through your class.
Uh-huh.
What an opportunity just to get into the Coast Guard, you know? It's not easy.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that the students learn and they appreciate when we visit the Coast Guard is how much responsibility young people are given. You know, like not many times in the real world, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old, whatever, right out of college, they let you have so much, you know, responsibility of like...
I think, yeah, exactly right. It's what like when the supervisor says, what do you think? The kids say, what do you mean, what do I think? What do you care? Well, I mean, nobody ever cared what I thought before. I guess you care about me now a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine, you know, someone in their early 20s, you know, being in charge of a boat? Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
it's amazing. It's amazing. And it's not just because the dad owns the boat. It's because they know how to do it. And, you know, those of you that are watching or listening to this show regularly, once again, next week and the following couple of weeks, we have some of the bad boys from the Wicked Tuna series coming back on with us now. One young guy, this Tyler, is a young guy, and he's got a big old boat, and he's one of the better fishermen. Okay, I want to go back to Zach, though, just for a minute. What are you doing now with the council? You're a contractor. What does that mean? What are you doing?
So I'm working with the council. I deal with a lot of Hawaii-related issues. So I've been dabbling with a whole bunch of things, including going to the legislature to seeing what's going on over there and understanding the whole process in itself. After going through the course, I got my marine bio bachelor's in marine bio from HPU, and then throughout going to school, I would go and talk stories with Mark and Josh every so often.
Let me tell you what amazes me, Zach. I think it's important is that you got to use what you learned to your advantage. And you told me off the air, and I think this is kind of a cool thing, is that when your friends and neighbors and even family ask you what you're doing, it's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah, it's a really hard one to explain, and then I kind of tell them exactly what I do, and then they're kind of like, so
what exactly?
Does that mean? Yeah. But they're like, so what exactly does that mean? And then they try to relate it, and I go, no, not exactly that. I was like, but it's more. It's been pondered on me as it's more federal. It's more federal, and then they go, what does that mean? So then I have to. I try to get it
and
out.
And, you know, it's important that you do that. And the more questions, there's no such thing. Those of you that are listening, there's no such thing as a dumb question. Ask even or any teacher that. I'm sure that, you know, Errol will be all over that. I want also to introduce you to Sienna Sonoda. She is a Moana Lua High School senior. And what was, Sienna, first of all, thank you for joining us today. And secondly, what was it that enticed you or that interested you in looking into maybe attending this class?
Well, my grandpa was a butcher and he loved to go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So like, but he died before I was born. So I never got the chance to like go with him because he's from the Big Island. So he would always fly back to go fishing. And I was like, I wonder what it's like to like fish and like why he was so enticed by all of this. So
were you surprised, by the way, to see the number of women that are now involved in the fishery? Because it is not it used to be a boys club, and now a teacher, it's anything but that, right? Because isn't it true that the last couple of years you've had more girls than boys?
Oh yeah, in fact most of the marine scientists we meet are women nowadays.
But it is kind of interesting. So but what steps did you take, Sienna, because of wanting to do that? Did you finally get a chance to go fishing?
Well, yeah, because I took this class, we actually got to go fishing off like Waikiki, mm-hmm. and even when we took our trip at the end to Molokai, we also got to go fishing at night, and I thought that was a lot of fun.
It's interesting when you can combine fun with a career,
yeah.
you know, and not just catch the fish, but maybe cook the fish, or maybe sell the fish, or maybe study the fish. So for those that don't know, let's talk about how this course comes around every year. I mean, it's to me, it's a miracle that it happens. And it must be, for you, Earl, just a, sort of a dream come true, because you get to do the thing that you like. It's been how long now?
It's been, I think this will be the 13th year.
Okay, and when you first, now, it's gone way past, we've already thanked who we have to thank, but the bottom line is that you said earlier there were no expectations, but there have been, there's a path that a lot of these young people have taken once getting this under their belt, like yeah. Zach and like others. Huh?
Mm-hmm. I think, like I said, the goal originally, if we could, is have every student somehow get involved in the fishery, but you know, that's not always the case. But like I said, for us, the main thing is we open eyes, we open ears, and the students, you know, when they leave school or even just in their daily lives, you know, take with them what we, you know, try to teach them.
This is kind of a special deal. We're going to tell you pretty soon how you can, you know, apply for this and how many, you know, slots are still available. But although the class actually rotates out of your Moanalua High School classroom, but you spend some time on the road. There have been in the past Neighbor Island trips. Is there one this year?
Yes, we're planning again to go to our favorite place, Molokai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what do you do when you go there?
We try and teach the students. So if we go to outer islands, it's usually to teach the students about traditional management.
Yeah, on the beach.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of times in the classroom, it's more Western management. And by taking them to Molokai or the North Shore of Kauai, we want to show them the community-based management,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, and that's, you know, but Zach, let's go back to your experience with it when, because you were like the Neighbor Island kid on the deal. Were you pleased to see, or did you even know that the council operated and the schools operated on bottoms up, that it didn't go top down and hire people from the mainland? They try to nurture guys like you for you to get into the fishery.
Well, prior to even finding out about Westpac, I didn't even know who Westpac was.
Of course.
I didn't even know what they did.
Mm-hmm.
The only exposure to fishery management that I had was DLNR, but being fresh out of high school, I didn't even understand that to a certain extent. I was just getting exposed to everything. But seeing the process that they do is really astounding, because it goes really from the bottom up instead mm-hmm. of thinking from top bottom.
Yeah, I think it's really, really important. And the other side of it is, and maybe you all have had the opportunity, and I know sometimes, Teach, when you're doing this, you have to make sure that people understand that there are people that have, they consider rights to beaches and rights to fishing. And this has got to be explained to somebody that's never been to a neighbor island that counts on that bay to feed their families. They don't want you bringing in a big net and taking all those fish and selling them on Oahu. They want to keep some there.
Yeah, I think definitely so. Like I said, I'm not trying to be mean, but we would want our students to maybe someday take an active role in the fishery so that they understand the local, you know, Hawaiian culture and all that entails as far as saving the stock.
Yeah. I also think, and this maybe is particularly to the young people, I know probably that, you know, as the time went on, Sienna, you learned what Mr. Yoshioka, how he's respected in the industry, and how you get to see this glimpse. Same thing. What did you tell your friends and stuff when you went back after this? When they said, "What was that all about? You know, how come you did that? Why did you do that?"
So, like, what I always tell my friends about this class is that since there's only a certain number of you guys, like, in the class, that everyone gets super close mm-hmm. and. That's something that I think is very important when going over fisheries stuff, because it's so close to home for us in Hawaii, especially.
Did you get it when the local management end of it wanted to be part of managing the fishery, managing the resource, to see that it was something that there was some input, that they'll listen to village by village or bay by bay or island by island to what their needs are?
Yeah, we got that, especially when we went to Molokai,
mm-hmm.
because like we visited a fish pond. And we got to see, like, how each one of these things just comes into play, especially when everyone relies on that for their food.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because, and I think maybe, you know, Aaron, that we should spend a minute on this, and that is that when you take a look at, particularly because you guys have this affinity to Molokai, is that these were the Safeways and the Foodlands of that part of, and then it all went by the boards. It is coming back now, but it really does show pretty graphically, right, what you got to do to feed your village, to feed your mountain.
Yeah, again, no offense, but I think what we're trying to show the students by going to the other islands is that we need to listen to the people. Yeah, we need to listen to the people who fish that resource in their area because they know it best. And it's very hard to have government officials who have no idea what's going on to tell you what and what you cannot do when you live it every day.
Yeah. Here's the thing that I found interesting. A lot more secrets were willing to be divulged as they got in burning this and found out that it was true, that the area-based management was an opportunity, but you still got to bring truth to the table. You can't tell them you weren't catching fish, because then they're going to say, well, then you can't. Once they put limits and licenses on things, everybody has to really sort of look each other in the eyeballs and be truthful.
Uh-huh. I think there's a lot of mistrust, like you said.
Yeah.
And so I think, like I said, I think the future is if we can get more of our friends and neighbors and relatives, you know, making these decisions, we're more likely to trust them and open up, and I think everybody benefits.
Okay, the course itself, once again, gang, is called the Marine Science Course on Fishery and Resource Management. And it is. It's from the shoreline out to the ocean. So this year's course is from when to when?
It starts with the regular Mauna Loa High School Summer School.
Yeah.
So we start on June 13th.
Okay.
And we're going to run till probably the second week of July.
Okay.
And so if you're interested, you need to contact me.
And the best way to do that is?
The best way is to email me.
Okay.
My email address is miki_yosh@yahoo.com. Or you can give me a call, 808-227-8493, and we can send you the materials.
227-8493.
Yes.
And of course, you can, those of you that are on the road can remember, just send me a note, themikebuckshow@gmail.com, and I'll make sure that that Aaron Yoshioka gets it. I want to go over, though, because I just assume that everybody listening knows, because I've been involved for years with you now. I know at the coast, you do some fishing events, some guest lectures, you've lined up some really straight stuff. But when you talk about it, so it starts on the 13th when the Mauna Loa class, and what are the hours? How many days a week and how many hours per day?
Okay, so that one is a little bit of stickiness because the normal summer school. The normal summer school runs from 8 to maybe 12 or 1. We run from 9 to 4. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because, like I said, whenever we have outings or field trips, you know, we need the whole day.
Yeah.
And we also have a few events, maybe at night.
Okay.
For example, we take our students to the fishing forum.
I remember the couple of times, you know, these fishing forums that I MC, they can be a little boring and they can be really wild. When the kids come, I really love not just the enthusiasm, but their thirst. They're really hungry birds in a nest. They really want to know stuff.
Yeah, and they win all the door prizes.
Yeah, that's right. They want to put up their hands and win stuff.
Yeah, but anyway,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the other ones we had at night was last year. We had the opportunity to go down to the Black Point nesting site.
Right, those birds, man.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
And in the evening, how they just come in and swoop over you.
How about
the
noise?
Yeah, and
they know exactly which hole is theirs.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. How do people get selected for it? And everybody always asks, is there cost involved, and if so, how much?
Okay, so we do have a cost, but
it's a deal.
Yeah. So it's $190 for the Mauna Loa High School summer program, you know, and you have to register through the school, but you need to go through me first for
that.
But with that, they can get a DOE Marine Science credit. And other than that, there's a $50 lab fee. And after that, Westpac takes care of everything.
Yeah, and that is the bonus of that is that Westpac is more than seeing the light. They know. We talk about bottoms up all the time. I think if it was a three-legged stool, for the council of getting these young people, you're certainly one of the legs. And so that must be for you gratifying. Because I know, Errol, that a lot of, I'm sorry, I always say Errol and I meant Aaron. A lot of your friends, they breathe this huge sigh of relief when summer comes and they just go cruise. You know, summer comes.
That's actually, they go fishing.
That's when you get, And that's ahi fever. Dizzy. But isn't it also, and by the way, just earlier on the program, we talked to Victor Lozano and how the folks at Spinner's Cafe have picked up and ran with that, the ahi fever tournament, which is the most popular fishing tournament there was. The kids ask a lot about that when they come in. How do you catch those big fish?
Yeah, but actually, honestly, most of the students who come in, unless, you know, we've had some students where their fathers and uncles are, you know, the big hitters here on the island. But other than that, most students don't really know anything about fishing.
I love that because it's new people. And then the other thing was, would I guess maybe, Sienna, at this point, have you made any plans where this background has helped you? They always say now, hey, you're a senior. What are you going to do next? What's next? What are you going to do? What are you going to be?
Well, for me, I'm planning to major in music, but what I took from this class, it's not going to go to waste. What I've been doing with this knowledge is I've been sharing it with my family and like all my friends, because I know like everyone loves poke.
Oh, yeah.
So then they're just like, oh, you went to the fish auction? Is that where they get all the fish? And like, yeah, it's really cool.
Here's the thing that I hope you have the opportunity of explaining exactly what it took and how many hands had to malama that fish that you have in that bowl in front of you. It just didn't come from a fisherman to your table, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people involved. Were you surprised at how many people get involved in getting involved with a fish that's first in a boat and then later on is on a table?
Yeah, it was really cool to see like the transition from like coming fresh off the boat into the fish market, and then like then we later on even Mr. Yoshioka even bought a fish for us, and he showed us how to make.
You got a deal, by the way. You got a good deal. I promise you.
Yeah. It was really.
Yeah,
cool.
And it is kind of neat because I know that one of the things, Aaron, that we talked about is I used to do a tour of the auction every Saturday morning before the Go Fish Show, which was live back then, you know, years back. And I took, I think, thousands of people through there. And it doesn't matter whether you're a physicist or a bus driver or a rubbish collector. Everybody learns something over there. And I think that one of the things that you're doing, and I want to make sure people understand this, not just that it's $190 and then a lab fee, but what exactly, I want to run over this thing again. Who qualifies? How many openings do you have to do? Let's get some urgency in this. Let's get it filled up.
We normally take ideally around 17 to 20 students.
Yep.
Just because of the logistics of transportation.
Sure. After 20 gets pretty hard to get people
because we drive them around.
Yeah.
And we're looking for, like I said, high school students from 9th through going to be 12th grade, ideally, who are willing to give us that time during the summer. So like I said, we go long days, we have some nights, and our trip to Molokai is probably going to be 4 days. So they're required to attend that as well.
Now, when they do that trip, is it boots and saddles? Where do they stay? Do you guys stay on the beach? Do you stay in the hotel?
Oh, no, we're really lucky. We stay at a church.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
That's been hosting us for years.
I knew that, and that's a great thing. And then there's the other thing of, I think that maybe some of your kids have not been to that rural sighting before. They've not done a residence hands-on neighborhood. They might have gone on a trip with the family and stayed in the hotel, but they've not been on the beach and on the streets with these folks.
No, definitely not Molokai. I think most people, you know, even the average person on Oahu who has never gone there, you know, freaks out when you see how limited things are there.
Well, you know, it's the toughest island to get a job on. It's the most expensive island to live on, and yet there are people there that you couldn't blow them out of there with dynamite. That's where they live, and that's where they want to stay.
No, but we're really lucky because, you know, it has that name, Friendly Isle, for a reason.
Yeah.
When everybody sees us, you know, they know, obviously, we're from Oahu, but the hospitality we get is amazing.
Now, in Zach's case, we talked about it earlier. We had the opportunity because Zach was from, this is kind of interesting. That's somebody calling, that's from Guam, they're calling. So maybe you can take care of that, Josh. we got some guys coming in for next week's show. That they happen to be here in Oahu, and these guys are guys that talk about the hands-on are exactly what we're talking about. And that's why the question really was, with Zach from Maui, you've had other neighbor island kids that have had the opportunity, but it must be a little bit harder for them.
Yeah, we've had students from the Big Island.
Yeah.
I actually had one parent, again, call me this summer, you know, for this summer's class a couple weeks ago, and the boys from Maui. So.
Yeah.
It's a little hard because you have to probably have a grandma or auntie to stay with
yeah.
while you're on Oahu. But other than that, I think it's a good experience.
Okay, sure, it's worth it. And we told you earlier, you can either email Aaron or you can call him up. And if you want to email him, he's got a kind of an interesting email. It's MIKI_Yosh@yahoo.com. That's his private email, so he's going to deal you with the private. Or you can call him up at 227-8493. Did I transpose that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's
227-8493.
That's it, yep.
How many more opening? I mean, I know that it's going to close up. I hate it to be where you don't end up getting somebody, even if it's last minute. So how last minute can somebody do here?
Well, main thing, Mike, is thank you again for having us on the show and hosting us. And we're always trying to get, like Zach said, diversity. So if we can get, you know, boys and girls and all grades from different schools, that's what we're looking for. So, you know, I'm not going to lie, because I teach at Mauna Loa High School, we get a lot of Mauna Loa High School kids because the word gets out and, oh, okay, I'm going to take a neck, you know, their friends or whatever.
But it is not restricted to Mauna
Loa. No, definitely. Yeah. You know, we've had kids from all the private schools, you know, Punahou, Mid-Pac, you know, University Lab, and we have kids from, you know, Kaiser and Campbell and Yale and Pro City and all over. So we're looking for anybody who, like I said, who's interested.
Okay, so that means you guys, you can be like Santa. You have music in your heart and you want to do that, but this just sounds neat, so you want to come and do it. You're welcome to do that too, because I think that one of the things that Aaron has explained is that it's not necessarily that you go into the fishery, but you go home with enthusiasm and somebody else does.
Yeah, I think the number one thing that we stress right away when the students come in is what is a fishery?
Yeah.
What is
and
the
they have some have no clue, right?
What is the Hawaii fishery, right? And like I said, like how Sienna said, you know, that poke in your bowl. So how did that, like you said, how did that poke in your bowl get there? Yeah. That's the fishery.
Yeah, it took more than one slice to make that happen. And then the other side of it, it's you can be like a little bit more like Zach, who actually, I guess Zach, way back when you did this, maybe you may not have had an idea that you were going to actually end up as into the fishery as you are, but you did. What was it that made you make that step?
I mean, prior to going to this class, I always wanted to go into fishery management. I didn't know exactly what. At first, it was kind of I wanted to become a game warden, and then it evolved over time, and then I started getting more involved with the council as I was going to school. Then I eventually did an internship. They also have an internship that they have. Then I got more exposed into it, and I was like, I really like this. I was like, this is something I'm passionate about, and I want to help my community. So that's exactly, I try to pursue it, and I kept going with it, and it just.
So there you go. Maybe you end up playing in front of the Honolulu Symphony, but you know about fishing, or you stay in the fishery for that night. And that's why I'm glad we had a chance on this episode, Aaron, of having both Zach and Sienna here, because it shows, you know, and it must be very gratifying to you too as a teacher to have people like Zach use what you have as part of their decision-making process about what they're going to do with their lives.
Oh, yeah. And we always say that, you know, for the 4 weeks that we see them, 4.5 weeks, it's really, in many ways, a career fair. They meet so many different people, and it's a good way to make connections. And believe me, you know, our guests, they remember the students and even their names of the ones who are very enthusiastic.
Okay, one more time, the email address?
MIKI_YOSH@yahoo.com.
Yep, or you can call 227-8493. Big thanks also to Victor Lozano from the Spinner's Cafe out there in Waianae. We'll see him next time. We'll see you next time. And if you want to hear something on the show, it's easy. TheMikeBuckShow@gmail.com. TheMikeBuckShow@gmail.com. So to everybody, from everybody at the Westpac Council, thanks for listening. See you next time.